Blog Talk Radio.
You're not a seer. You're wondering where to turn for inspiration? Ask the Golden Oracle, who has spent a lifetime guiding her clients through the rough times, the tough decisions, and those moments when they had not a clue as to where to turn. Taught from childhood by her great-grandmother and grandmother, both seers, to communicate with spirit guides, Ada Marie is more than happy to answer your questions. So, welcome, Ada Marie.
Thank you, and I'm happy to hear you. I was hoping you were going to be there today, knowing that you would be, but I just said, with everything else that went upside down today and the wheel flying off the car and going down the road for 5 miles, anything could happen today. You're driving along at 60 miles an hour and the wheel takes off.
Oh, my heavens.
Goes ahead of you?
Oh, no.
Yeah?
I guess you turned very intensively to spirit for inspiration at that moment, huh?
Well, at that moment, we said, okay. I said, don't take your foot off the gas. Just slowly let it go, and the car will, and go to the side of the road. Go as far to the side as you can, and the car will slow itself down. And the wheel, the thing the wheel sits on, will hit the ground and it will stop, but we won't get hurt. And it went, it did stop, and we come to a sudden stop, but we weren't hurt because we were only going about 5 miles an hour by then. And everything
okay,
was
that's
fine.
Good.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, you know, it seems that when you are connected, as you obviously have been most of your life, you somehow are guided in through difficult situations. And there are a lot of people that wish they had that, you know.
They do have it. They have it. They just don't listen. They just don't listen. They panic. And the minute they panic, they can't hear anything. So the trick is for people to learn not to get upset and not to panic, but to be silent and call on help. To say, okay, God, I need a little hand here. Show me what to do. And believe it or not, within minutes, they'll be able to take over and make everything happen without anybody being harmed. It goes on every day. I taught classes in California for, I guess, 35 years. And that was the first class that everybody took, and it was 10 weeks. And in 10 weeks, everybody could report that they had had an incident where they did not panic, and they listened to the voice, and they did what they were told, and nobody was hurt. Now, I'm telling you, one of those ladies just called me today and said, you remember, you haven't seen these people for 45 years, so... Do you remember Penny, my little girl? Yes. Who is her mother, which I'm talking to? Oh, she said, I'm sorry, Ada Marie. This is Hallie. I said, well, Hallie, how are you doing? But, I mean, do you remember my little girl? She talked to me yesterday. So, again, I say, if people don't panic, if they just be calm, they will be guided to do what they need to do so that no one is harmed. And it's a wonderful thing. Yes, it is frightening if you're on a freeway with a 4-lane road and something is happening and you've got your blinker on and nobody's moving to let you get off to the side of the road. Just keep blinking and keep praying. Say, okay, Father, move those cars, and he will move them. I've had that
there
happen
you go.
Three or four times, and boy, they move. Suddenly, I'm slowing down, so they're slowing down, so they go around me. And that's what slows them down. See, that slowing them down moves them. But you have to, in your mind's eye, see them moving. Move them over. So, again, it's a three-part thing. It's you knowing you have to move. It's you knowing your car is coming to a stop, and you don't want anybody to hit you, and it's them seeing it happen and seeing you blinking for them to get over. And usually, if they're really paying, no matter how fast you're going, if they're really paying attention, because you're all going that fast, they're going to try to move over, and one of those cars on that road is going to see that. And they're going to open up a place for you to get in to the place so you can get off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it does happen, because nowadays when people are driving, they're driving 60. They're not driving 40. They're driving 60.
Oh, sure.
So that's not easy, you know. But
unless you're in California, and then they're driving 75.
Or 80. We lived in California for 40 years, and it was nothing. When we got to Arizona and we had to drive 65, it was a little tough because we weren't used to that.
Sure. So what do you do when someone calls you and says, I'm just can't think straight. I just don't know what to do. What should I do, Ada Marie?
Well,
what's the first thing you do?
Is actually feeling, and they really can't think straight, because I've been there too. I immediately get a glass of water, and if I'm in a place where I can, and I sit down somewhere, just anywhere, and I bow my head and I say, "Okay, Father, I believe I'm in need of assistance. I'm going to sit here quietly without a thought in my head and let you make the way straight. You will make the crooked way straight if I wait for you to do it." And he does. Now, when you ask him to make the crooked way straight, you are asking him for yourself, for your condition, your thoughts, and your activity. And believe me, that crooked way will be made straight if you just sit there. Just sit there. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. Sit still until you get that feeling that you are being directed. You will be directed. And I tell you, you can do, anybody can do it. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how young they are. They can do it.
Okay.
So
and this,
they need,
this,
to, they need
this,
to try
you,
it.
You've been doing this for a long, long time, haven't you?
Yeah, because my grandma taught me when I was little, and I didn't get run over because I fell on the street, and I just laid there. And then when I felt a little bit better, cars were screeching, I sat up and scooted back to the sidewalk. I didn't get up. I just scooted on my fanny back to the sidewalk. You know,
oh, my goodness.
When you're a fluffy kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, this, that's very interesting. And sometimes when someone reaches out to me for help, and at first I just don't quite know what to say on it, I will go into meditation. I'll say, put the right words in my mouth, please, God. You know?
You have to ask.
And somehow it always comes out right.
It does come out right. They'll call and say, give me a minute. I need a minute. And then I just wait till I get the right answer. And if it doesn't come in a timely manner, I say, I'm not getting an answer. I'm sorry. I'm not getting an answer. Do you have another question that might take us to the place we need to go? And very often they do, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes they do ask the wrong question, and the answer is sitting there, but they're looking in the wrong direction.
Also, they're not only looking in the wrong direction and asking the wrong question, they're not aware that they're not talking about the problem.
Yeah.
So you have to stop them. You have to say, wait a minute, what happened? What's the problem? Tell me the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say something, and then they begin to see the answer, you know. Because they haven't really asked the right question for what's happening. They've asked a question that goes beyond that, and you have to get back to the source. mm-hmm. of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. I keep thinking from time to time what Einstein said is that you can't solve a problem from the same kind of thinking that got you into it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Of course, I'm paraphrasing it. He said it much better, but
well, of course.
Basic.
But I mean, it's true. You have to sit and say, now, what have I learned from this? And the minute you ask yourself that question, what have I learned from this? You consider for just a few seconds, usually, and an answer begins to appear, and you become aware of what you might have done accidentally and not aware of, and what you can do to sever the results so that it's good. You want good results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's
very interesting what is available to us that we don't know is there.
If we don't ask for it, it says, ask and ye shall receive, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what he says, ask and you shall receive. But you have to know how to ask your question so that it goes along with what happened and not something you're thinking because it happened. If you fall down a flight of stairs, at the moment you were walking up the stairs, you weren't thinking about falling, right? So all of a sudden you trip and down at the bottom of the stairs you are. Now your thinking wasn't about falling down the stairs, but now you're at the bottom of the stairs. So the first thing you do is, am I all right? Am I hurt? You know, what's the matter with me? And usually there's really nothing wrong with you because you're not tense, you're not, you're just limp, and boy, you just roll like a rubber ball. So if you stop and think, now what was I thinking when I accidentally missed the step? And then you concentrate on that, and then that light comes back to you, and you are able to realize that you were not paying attention to the stairs, and this is what happened. So what was the lesson here? The lesson is to be aware at all times of where you're walking, if it's up or down or around or straight across the road. You know, it's an awareness that we need to develop, and we need to develop that awareness for everything. We can't just develop it for one particular thing. We have to develop awareness for everything so that we are able to function in our world today, because it's moving fast and things are changing fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to develop an awareness, a good awareness.
Yeah, and then a lot of times people will try to blame real fast. Whatever happens, they try to blame it on something or somebody.
You know what? The blame game is the most dangerous thing in the world. Because you never get the lesson. You never get the lesson. The blame game puts it over there, so you're not responsible. When the reality of the thing is, you're setting yourself up to do it a second time. So take a look at when you've done something. Yeah, look at what you've done and how you did it.
Yeah.
What you have done and how you did it.
Mm-hmm. So when people come to you in their classes, you have regular meetings and you give them assignments and things like that.
Well, when I was teaching, they came once a week. They came on Thursday night, and we worked, and then we had one mental exercise for the whole week in the things we did, and till after within a year, they were good enough that they not only could be aware before it was necessary, but they could also look out as how to not be in trouble. They could, you know, just excuse themselves or change their lanes or stop and wait someplace and let everybody go by. There's a million different things you can do when you know you're not functioning in the right pattern. There's a million different things you can do. You can, because nobody knows but you that you're in the wrong pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one that really knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So one lady in Beverly Hills used to say to me, after going to your class, when I felt like I made the wrong turn, I would immediately turn into the first shop. Anything, didn't matter what it was, I would turn into the shop. I would turn off the key. I would get out of the car, and I would walk in, and I would say to a man or woman, whoever was there, this is where I am going, and I think I made the wrong turn, and which was usually so. And they would take a pencil and paper, many of them said, and draw them a picture so they wouldn't, you know, the freeways over there are terrible. If you miss a turn, you're really in trouble.
Oh, you're 10 miles away for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
hey.
And people did that. They were happy to help them. Nobody ever complained about helping somebody that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are about. But you have to have the strength to say, I made the wrong turn, or this route was a mistake. Where should I have turned? Where should I be? This is where I want to go, and show them the address. And people will help you. It never fails. I'm the biggest dunce in the world. When I moved to California, I'd never seen anything like that. I came out of Montana and Washington State. You cannot believe the mistakes I made. There was no way to turn around. You just had to keep going until you found a place you could get onto a different road and get off the road so you could find out where you were.
Sure.
So. But people are usually very nice about that because we've all had that experience, so we know what it's like. So people are usually very nice to help you get back, even if you're 25 miles away from where you're supposed to be. One time I had two ladies, and we were going to this particular place, and it was kind of in the country. And she had the directions in her hand, and it said, turn right at the mailboxes. Well, out in the country, there's lots of mailboxes, but said, get off the highway and go to the right turn by the mailboxes. So we did, and we drove, and we drove, and we drove. So we went back again and looked at the sign and said it again, and we drove on the other side of the sign, the opposite way. And here come a patrolman, and he turned on the light, and I stopped, and he come over to the car, and on the back, my husband had put a license plate on the back of my car. Don't follow me, I'm lost. So he come up to the car with a big smile on his face, and he said, ma'am, are you lost? I said, as a matter of fact, I am. And he said, well, I'll get you back on the highway. I said, okay, that's nice of you. And he was grinning, and he said, have you looked at your license plate lately? I said, oh, my gosh, did I lose it? He says, no. He says, let me show you. So he takes me around to the back of the car, and here Mark, my husband, had found this license plate banner, and it says, don't follow me, I'm lost. And I, you know, he couldn't help but laugh, and I couldn't help but laugh either. I said, that was my husband. That's one of his tricky little things. And he said, well, don't take it off because nobody's going to stop you when you are lost. So that was pretty nice.
The very first thing you need to do is to admit to yourself that you need help.
Yeah,
It seems to me that's what you're saying.
That is what I'm saying. And then when someone helps you, be gracious. I mean, be grateful. And in my case, when I get lost, like I said, can I follow you to the freeway? And he turned around, and in like less than 5 minutes, we were running parallel. I was on the freeway going the right direction in less than 5 minutes, and I couldn't even see the thing because you couldn't see it. It was above you.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's always nice to be able to help somebody, because you don't know the day when you might need a little help. So always know that what goes around comes around. If it's something nice, it'll come around nice, you know, and people are really helpful. So don't be afraid to ask a stranger for directions if you need it. I had that question come up twice this week, a lady in Baltimore, and I have never been to Baltimore, so I can't say what the roads look like, but she was so lost, she ended up on a pier. So she had to ask a person.
You couldn't go any further.
No, I couldn't. She had to ask someone. She said she was lost, and he said to her, he said, well, come in here and let me look on the map and see where you need to be. So in this office where he was, he had a map, and she gave him the address, and she wasn't far away. She just turned the wrong way a couple times. And he drew her a little map and gave it to her, and she went on her way. Now, that was very nice.
For sure.
And of course, she thanked him profusely. But there's a lot of people that are very nice to help out.
Mm-hmm.
So don't
feel there any formula that you have, any tips as to if suppose nobody is there to help you, if that you can actually reach out to spirit and get the inspiration you need?
Let me tell you something funny. I was driving in a new area in Montana, and I was following the road, the directions he had given me, and I ended up in the bottom of a gravel pit, and it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I couldn't find the road. Ended in the bottom of the gravel pit. I couldn't figure out where I was. And I got in the car and I prayed, because I walked a little ways and I kind of slid down a little hill. I don't want to drive, I don't want to turn my car over. So I said, oh my gosh, I can't back up. That was a long hill. So I got in the car and I said, okay, God, I'm a little bit fearful here, because I've got someplace and I don't know where I am. And the voice said, sit in the car and go back to sleep. When you wake up, you'll see the road. So I got back in the car. I was coming home from work and I was tired anyway. And I got back in the car and I went to sleep. And when I woke up, it was like 4:45 in the morning and it was daylight. And I was in the bottom of a gravel pit. But the road where the trucks came to get gravel, that's the road I was on, and all I had to do was go forward and go around a big pile of dirt and go back up on the road again. But I would have never seen that in the middle of the night. I'd have probably plowed right into the middle of that pile of dirt.
Uh-huh.
But I did what they said. I went to sleep, and when I woke up, it was daylight. And I just drove around that big thing and up, and when I got home, Mama said, where were you? I said, well, I got off the road, Mama. I fell asleep, and I ended up in the gravel pit. She said, I knew you were going to do that one of these days, because you go and you're too tired when you leave work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all she said.
Do you have any suggestions of how we can follow our inspiration when we get it? Because sometimes I've caught myself talking myself out of inspiration or intuition that I have, and then I get in trouble.
Then you really get in trouble. Now, if you are driving or working someplace and something tells you to do something totally different from what you're doing, stop what you are doing. Be still for a few minutes and then follow that energy. Let it take you where it's going, because there's some reason, either somebody needs help or you need to meet somebody, or there's a reason that somebody has to be there to protect something that you don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
you can be walking down the street, or you meet somebody and something tells you, I don't think I wanted to spend time. And then you say, then you talk yourself into saying, no, this person is perfectly fine and they seem so nice and everything, and why am I thinking that? And then
because
then you get in trouble.
Because
you,
yeah, because you didn't listen.
Yep.
And a lot of times you'll come to a street corner and there's no cars coming, and you think, well, I'll cross, but the voice says no. No, you hesitate, and then a car goes flying by you, going 90 miles an hour when you should be going 30, and you're alive. That happens a lot. So there's many reasons to listen to that little voice when it says something to do, do it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you, have you ever twisted your ankle? You're stepping off a curb, and you step off a curb, and you twist your ankle. The first thing you do is sit down and put both hands around your ankle. And the energy from the inside of your hands will take away the pain, but it will also straighten up the ankle. Because I'm a great one for twisting my ankles. And my grandma showed me that when I was quite young. She said, you walk faster than your feet can walk. And you can very often twist your ankle. So there are a lot of things that you can do for yourself in an emergency if you will just do them, you know. So I sat down on the ground and held my ankle, and it got okay, and I got up and I went on my way. So there's just many things you can do. And people say, well, you look funny. I said, I wouldn't care if I looked funny if I wasn't hurting. I'd get up and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So the suggestion, so maybe you're thinking about something, you want to do something, you have two or three choices, then what do you do? How do you do that?
Usually the first choice that you received was correct. And you may not know why until after you've done it, but it will usually stand you in good stead, regardless, you know. I was on my way to an apple orchard to pick some apples, and I had a lady with me, and the voice said, oh, turn here. And I turned to the left and went into this driveway. I couldn't figure out what I was doing, and then I realized I was in a thrift store, and I wasn't buying anything from a thrift store, but she said, can we go in? I said, yeah. So we went in, and she needed furniture. And she ended up for $175 getting two beautiful chairs and a couch. That's what she needed. And then they threw in an end table because she bought those pieces of furniture. So I had to call my husband to bring a truck down and pick up her stuff. But, I mean, I had no intention of stopping there. I was just driving along, and we were taking our time because we were behind somebody going slow. And she saw that store, and she says, well, can we turn here? I said, yeah. So I turned, and then I saw, after I turned, I went down the hill, then I saw the store. So she got some furniture that day. And that wasn't what we were thinking about at all. It just so happened that way.
So there's inspiration all around you all the time, and most of us don't reach out. We don't even reach out for it. Is that
right? They don't pay attention to it. It's just amazing how people ignore some things that could be really wonderful for them. And if you walk into a situation that wasn't good, you can always excuse yourself and leave. You know, there's always that option.
So what we need to do is to constantly practice until it becomes second
awareness.
Nature, I guess.
Right.
Awareness
has
okay.
to be a second nature. You know, I don't know how many times when I lived in California, people come and they say they thought I was a particular movie star. I looked like her, I guess. And And they'd come running after me down the street, and I'd turn around and I'd say, no, that's not me. And they'd look at me and they'd say, what do you look like? I said, that's not me. And so I just got so used to doing that that if somebody started yelling before they got too many loud, I would turn around and look at them and say, you're looking for the wrong, I'm not that lady. So I did that, too, to save myself a lot of
embarrassment. So we are all out of time.
Yeah.
So do you have one last words for anyone that's listening?
Do I have one?
Do you have a last words for anyone that's listening, a message?
Oh, are we at the end of the show? Holy cow. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody has sight and intuition and sendings. Everybody has them. Pay attention. Marvelous things can come be brought to you because you are ready for them and they are available to you. And if you just listen to that intuition and follow that guide, you will be surprised at all the wonderful blessings you will be given. Believe me, they are positive. There isn't going to be one of them that is negative. So pay attention. Follow the guide. Okay?
And thank you so much, Ada Marie. And we're just going to end as usual with love and light.
And God bless everyone. Okay? Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.